Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today, the little adorable voice you hear, that's not Liz. That's Kayla.
It's me, bitch.
Yeah, it's Kayla. So if you didn't listen to our Halloween episode last year, I think it was called like In the Spirit or something like that. We had Kayla on here and we talked about all the different types of like really weird paranormal
spooky experiences
she's had. So that is where you may have heard Kayla's voice from. Also, I feel like I mention you all the time on the podcast, so so Kayla's on here recording with me today. This is again, as you've heard hopefully by now, By the time you're hearing this, hopefully Liz and I have recorded to talk about this, but as you've heard in a previous episode, we're rebranding and we're having listener guests on. We want to be able to have our friends and stuff on the show. So this is just one of many. Okay. This is one of many special guests. And Kayla and I are going to be talking about a couple things today. And you guys can't see it, but Minky is here as well.
She's so precious.
She smells like a bag of Fritos.
I knew you were going to say that.
I mean, she always, like, she chews on her feet and she's just like, the flavors are melting in my mouth.
Corn chip dog.
But anyway, yeah. So we're going to be talking about a few things, including one, the concert you and I got screwed out of.
Oh my God.
Two, your second bout with COVID. Three, the story that I'm going to be telling you in 5 seconds. And four, this problem that we have with this so-called low maintenance friendship genre, stigma, personality type. I don't really know what to call it, but
fake friends. What can you do?
Fake friends. Fake. Get away from my damn Squishmallow. She keeps trying to chew it.
Because it looks like one of her toys.
That's too damn bad. Not back off, Mia. But anyway, so to start this out, I just need to tell you the story.
All right, lay it on me.
I don't know how I forgot to tell you the story, but it was so uncomfortable. So the other day, I walk into Jackson's apartment, and I come in the back entrance. And back entrance, but... I come in the back entrance, and as I'm coming in, there's a guy, like a maintenance man, and he is coming out of somebody's apartment, and he didn't seem like shifty or anything. Like, he didn't look suspicious. Like, I didn't look at him and think like, you shouldn't be in there. Like, I immediately knew he was a maintenance man, you know, like he's carrying like a ladder and toolbox and crap. And I have Mia in one hand and I'm just like walking down the hallway. And as I pass him, he just strikes up a conversation and he's like nobody was talking to him. And he just goes, I just had to go in there and fix somebody's refrigerator handle. It was opening like this instead of the regular way. It was opening the opposite way. It was hitting the walls crazy. And I'm just like, oh, really? That's crazy. Like, that's crazy. Get to the elevator. He corners me and he pulls out his phone and he's like, I took a video. You want to see it? And I'm like, no.
A video of the door?
Of the refrigerator door handle that he apparently fixed. Why would I give a shit?
Why would he record it?
That's why I was thinking, like, maybe he wasn't a maintenance man. Maybe he wasn't supposed to be in there. It was really uncomfortable.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I felt really strange about it. I was just like, no. And I made up some lie, like, which again, just goes to show, like, women don't feel comfortable just saying no. Like, we always got to have an excuse. And I was like, no, like, I got to go up. I have a Zoom meeting I got to be on. Like, no, I don't.
Did you see the actual video? Like, did he show it to you?
No, I told him no. And I like was fucking pressing on the elevator door button like my life depended on it. I was like, dude.
What if he was recording you and trying to like play it off?
He had his phone in his pocket, like, before I got, he'd pulled it out. Like, what do you, I don't know if he thought I worked there, and he, like, I don't know what he, I don't know what, it was just really strange, and I completely forgot about it until, like, 10 minutes ago, but I.
Why do men?
Like, today I drove past a truck that black smoke was rolling out the back of it. And there was a sticker. No, not a sticker. The license plate. The DMV actually let this license plate be printed and let someone put this on their car. The license plate said nut in you.
That's kind of legendary. I'm not going to lie. But if you can get away with that at the DMV...
That's disgusting.
I mean, it's gross, no doubt, but how did they get away with that?
I mean, it was very clear. It said nut in you. Like, it was very much like he was not trying to get around what he was trying to say. Nut in you. N-U-T. N. The letter N. Y-O-U. Nut in you. So.
That's wild that nobody looked at that and was like, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't allow this on the road. Yeah, public. Like,
I just feel like I think customized license plates just shouldn't even be allowed because people just get ridiculous with them. And they like, honestly, the amount of times I've almost wrecked reading crazy license plates, it's a hazard.
Bro, not to mention someone's riding around with my exact same license plate and I'm getting tolls in the mail, like saying pay this toll because you went through without an easy pass in Maryland. I don't live in Maryland. I've never been through Maryland, but someone got my license plate and they got a picture of it.
License plates should literally just be QR codes.
That's a good idea.
And the only people who should be able to scan your QR code should be like the DMV people and like cops or something, or I guess like
if not you're getting- even cops.
I mean, if you're getting like a ticket or something, like random people on the side of the street should not be able to scan your QR code and like get your personal information.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe if that happens, like I'll patent that. I need to go patent that right fucking now because that's a pretty good idea.
Someone's going to take it.
Somebody's going to take it. Somebody's going to snatch it.
Copyright that.
Copyrighted to Wishful Thinking. Thank you very much. But yeah, that was my story I wanted to tell you. And I just really wanted to say it before. If anybody can hear, I swear to God, every episode, I always have to say, if anyone can hear this, I'm sorry. If anyone can hear the banging above my bedroom, it's because I have a new upstairs neighbor and she's super loud and pretty inconsiderate. And I have actually left a note on her door about it. So.
At least it's not the guy who was singing really loud.
No, but he still lives here too.
She starts beatboxing on the walls with the hammer. He starts singing over top of it. Imagine their collab.
Honestly, 10 out of 10 would downvote their video.
Yeah.
But anyways, have you tested Negi?
Kobe Negi. We're feeling great.
You look great.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It was rough this time around. I had fevers for legit like 5 or 6 days straight. I've never had a fever that lasted that long before.
Oh my God. Were you just like, did you have the chills or were you just like?
Yeah, chills.
Oh my God.
Hot and cold constantly.
It was the worst.
And then I think I'm fine because I'd go like a day without feeling chills or anything. And then the next day I'd come back in full force. Mm-hmm. And then like, obviously when you're feeling a fever for that long, you're taking like all the Advil, all the Tylenol, and then you build up your tolerance to it. And then you just got to keep taking more.
Yeah, and damage your liver.
Not a good time. Yeah, it's definitely going around.
Dude, I saw something the other day, and it was like, y'all ready for, is that a mosquito bite or monkeypox summer?
Did you see the picture of the guy? I think it was like the subway system in Spain, but a guy was on there with very apparent monkeypox all over his body and was just like up, like huddled in with everybody else. Oh. With monkeypox all over. And somebody like approached them about it and was like, yo, like you should not be in public transit with open lesions all over your body. And they're like, oh no, the Spanish government said that it's only like gay people who get it, so I don't have to worry.
Bitch. Oh, but you must be gay, apparently. That's so disgusting.
It's so dumb.
So disgusting. It really scares me. I did read somewhere that it's like more right now, it's more prevalent in Europe. So
it's just, I guess the worst part about it is like, oh wow, we've learned absolutely nothing from just going through COVID for the past 3 years. That's great.
Yeah, like we've learned nothing, and clearly people think like, oh, it's only like over in these other countries. That's what we said about COVID when it was in China, and then all of a sudden it was over here. Like, why?
I'm sorry, international travel is still open pretty much everywhere.
Why do people in America just think that we are immune, like, to getting diseases because there's like an ocean that separates us? Like, why do people think like it'll never get over here, as if like people aren't coming back and forth between countries all the time?
Stupidity.
It just, oh my denial. God, it freaks me out. And just also the amount of people who are like would rather die from COVID than look ugly from monkeypox.
Also, like, is nobody concerned about school starting in a few weeks and like how high the transmissions are gonna be?
Oh my god,
like teachers getting it from the kids and kids passing it to each other and then infecting their parents at home and their siblings at home and then bringing it to their place of work. Like, we have absolutely learned nothing.
No, people are not concerned enough for my liking. And this is just the exact same way that COVID started, where people were like, oh, it'll never get over here. Like, we don't need to shut down schools. That's just gonna, kids are already stunted anyways from the first pandemic. What's another year's worth of lockdown gonna do? Like, come on. It just, I don't know. I've never been more grateful to not have kids than
same
being in the middle of a panoramic.
Speaking of kids, there's a child playing in my driveway.
Don't let it touch you.
You hear them?
Nope.
Don't let it touch you.
That reminds me of Bridesmaids when the jeweler like goes and touches that woman on the shoulder, Kahlua, and he's like, don't sue me for touching you. Why can't you be more like Kahlua?
We need to do a Bridesmaids rewatch.
Yeah, we do. Have we ever watched Bridesmaids together?
I don't think so. If we have, it wasn't the whole thing.
Do you like my hair like this?
I do.
I like good.
Oh, she's in a silly, goofy mood.
And this is why we don't post these on YouTube anymore. God. Anyways, what did we also say we wanted to talk about before we talk about our main topic? There was like one more thing.
What did we talk about? We talked about we were going to talk about the slender bodies.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I don't think I may have mentioned this on a previous episode when it happened, but back in February, Kayla and I straight up got scammed by, what was it called?
Motorco Music Hall in Durham, North Carolina.
In Durham, North Carolina. I drove 3 hours to go see Kayla, and this was for the purpose of seeing slender bodies. So that literally, like, there couldn't have been a less relevant band for me to be going to see than one that literally sounds like They're honestly like a less popular version of Alt-J, and I love Alt-J, don't get me wrong.
But don't, like, do Alt-J like that.
I don't want to do Alt-J like that. That's, they're like one of my favorites. But what I'm saying, like, literally, we drove 3 hours down there to Raleigh, and or to, yeah, and then we go to Durham. Kayla and I pull up to the freaking venue and like,
wait, I think we need some backstory before we talk about the venue. We need to talk about the fucking effort that we put into before we even left my apartment.
You tell it.
Bro, okay. So this was the first concert that we were going to go to post COVID, you know, like first concert, getting out of the house, going out, having fun. So we were like, you know what? Let's go all out. We're going to be hot. We're going to look sexy. We glue copious amounts of body glitter to our faces. It's all over my sink. Like, it's everywhere. We have so much glitter on. We decide that we're going to go eat before we go to the concert. So we go to a restaurant. We go to a Mexican restaurant covered in so much glitter. By the way, it's a Monday night. we're going to a Monday night show decked out in so much glitter and like hoe outfits. And we were feeling great. We were feeling fine. We get drunk. We're having margaritas at the restaurant. We're feeling good. And then so we make my boyfriend makes the 40-minute trek from the restaurant to Durham to go to this venue. And we pull up there and it, like, I'm not gonna lie, it was a little bit sketchy. Like, there was nobody there. There was like maybe one couple that was like having a beer outside of the actual venue. We walk into the actual venue, absolutely no one was there. We're like, oh, you know what? First of all, it's Slender Bodies. Like, who? Second of all, it's a Monday night in Durham. So, like, yeah, not that weird that nobody's here. But we walk inside and this girl asks for our vaccination cards. Brooke has hers. I didn't even think to bring mine. So I'm like looking online, like trying to pull up the digital version of my vaccination cards. The girl is just sitting there for like 15 minutes as I'm looking for this online record of it. I finally find it. I show it to her. She's like, okay, you guys can go in. So what are you guys all dressed up for? And we're like, the show tonight. And she's like, there's no show tonight. And we're like, yes, there is. Like, we just showed you the tickets. I just showed you my vax card. We've been here for like 20 minutes now. She's like, oh, well, let me check. But I don't think there's anything here. So she leaves. She like goes upstairs. She comes back down a few minutes later. And she's like, yeah, there's no show here tonight. I'm so sorry. So we look on like their website. And it says that the show was rescheduled for June. Mind you, this was February. No emails went out to like tell us that's been rescheduled. There was no prior posting of like, hey, like we're moving this. Just no communication from the venue, no communication from Slender Bodies or like their management company. So we were just like, well, what the hell do we do now? And it was just like, we were so sad. We like went into the bathroom, took some sad pictures. And then I called my boyfriend to come swing back around and pick us up because there was absolutely nothing going on at this dead brewery.
On a Monday night in February.
On a Monday night in February. We were freezing our asses off for nothing.
It was such trash. I'd even pulled out the leather pants. Yeah. You know, it's a big deal if I pull out the leather pants. Like, you know, I'm ready to get down, but no. But then. Tell them what happened in June.
So June rolls around. We're like, all right, you know what? We're going to see this show whether they like it or not. So we roll up there in June. Actually, I think it was like the morning of the show. And it was like, you know, this is weird that they never sent an email saying, hey, just a reminder, you have like postponed tickets for this event. They moved the show to a completely different venue that's now in Chapel Hill instead of Durham, which is like an hour in an opposite direction. So it is not close by any means. But I go to their website and I see, yeah, it's been moved to this venue. Like, come here. So I'm like looking for updates. And then it says, Slender Bodies puts out like an Instagram announcement about, yeah, like someone in our
2 hours, like 2 hours,
before 2 hours before the show. Someone posts, oh yeah, like someone in our crew has been battling like a long, it wasn't like COVID, but they're like, yeah, they've had some long-term medical issues. So we're actually not going to the show tonight either. Like, we're not playing tonight.
Like, why are you even on tour, dude?
And like, if you knew it was a medical condition that had been going on for a while, you didn't know until 2 hours before the show that you weren't going to be able to make it.
Yeah, like that's, you know, I mean, this would be different if this was like a freaking, I don't know, Beyonce or Lady Gaga concert where thousands and thousands of people are showing up. It's just freaking Slender Bodies. But at the same time, it doesn't matter like how big or small a show is. I feel like as an artist, like your fans deserve to be kept in the know about stuff like that way before like 2 hours. Like,
absolutely. It just seemed like a scam that they were going with these tiny venues that had, first of all, when we tried to contact the venues to like get a refund, they straight up say, yeah, don't, like, this is our phone number, but don't call it because no one's going to pick up. Like, it straight up said that. And it's like, okay, well, so you book these tiny venues. You really have no intention of showing up because you're not telling anyone until 2 hours before, but you're also claiming these long-term medical issues that are keeping people from performing. Like, and then you also make no moves to offer any sort of refunds. We had to track down, like, who do we reach out to get a refund? Like, it was difficult to find anyone to talk to about it.
We had to beg.
We had to beg for a refund. Slender Bodies themselves responded to us. They're like, oh yeah, we're so disappointed. Bruh, I'm disappointed. You are not disappointed. You're getting your coin from most of the people who don't have an hour to spend looking for the emails to get their refund. Like, we are the ones disappointed.
Yeah. So,
and your music ain't even good enough to be doing that kind of shit. High key.
Like, Godspeed to...
Godspeed, brother.
The person who is like chronically ill, like, I wouldn't wish that on anybody, and like, I totally get not wanting to go on with a show because like somebody's sick, but like, if someone has
you know
like, you knew this ahead of time, if somebody is so ill that like it's going to keep them from playing shows like randomly and like people losing money, then maybe like they just shouldn't be
touring at that time.
Yeah, exactly. But like, the funny thing was, I remember I wasn't going to come down there for it. And I was just going to be like forfeiting my ticket because it was like $15. And then a couple hours before it gets canceled, you're like, well, good thing you didn't drive down here 3 hours again because it got totally canceled. I was just like, the universe just said, y'all are not meant to shake y'all's asses together.
Nope. And what am I supposed to do with this body glitter? That's what I really want to know, because what other circumstance would I have for wearing this?
Kesha. But my Kesha ticket got canceled too. So.
We have a Mac Miller concert ticket that's framed in the living room for the swimming tour that he never made it to.
I didn't know you had that. Oh my God. Yeah. How can you have that in your living room? I'd fucking cry every day. Kayla,
I cry every day thinking about him anyways.
That is so morbid. You like, you yell at me for, because I listen to sad music, and yet you're over here with a literal like memoriam of our favorite dead rapper.
Yeah, but you have to honor him somehow.
I mean, girl, that's in the living room.
So? It's by the record collection.
I mean,
it's where it belongs.
Well, I guess I can't really talk because I have Circles, the Circles poster framed.
Oh, yeah. Room.
No, the poster, not the vinyl.
Oh.
The big pink poster.
Okay, yeah.
I have that framed, so I guess. I mean, that's still not as depressing as a freaking concert ticket you never got to go to, bruh.
Yeah, but come on. Swimming? You gotta frame it. You gotta frame it.
Oh. I'm gonna try not to eat loud. I'm gonna try. I made, okay, so listen to this. Listen to this fucking recipe. By the way, guys, Kayla got me the best Christmas present last year. She got me a friggin' air fryer. It has been the difference many times between me eating like chocolate for bed and eating like a nutritious meal.
Chocolate for bed?
Before bed. Dinner. Chocolate before dinner.
Chocolate for bed.
Chocolate before bed. I meant chocolate for dinner before I go to bed.
Uh-huh.
Any fucking way, God. Basically, what I'm eating right now is bell peppers, onions.
Ooh.
Yeah, you know, we'd be cooking with some bell peppers. Yeah. Cilantro, lime, rice, chicken, like chopped up chicken.
Damn, Betty.
So the spices I be using, kosher salt, black pepper.
But no sauce.
Shut the fuck up. Kosher salt, black pepper, onion powder, garlic salt, and Italian seasoning, and a little bit of chili powder. Just a little bit.
I was going to ask, do you like crushed red pepper?
No. You know this. This was the first time you ever made fun of me because I told you that I made a HelloFresh thing with crushed red pepper on it, and you sent me a middle finger calling me a pussy because I said that it was so spicy I was crying. Yeah, I remember everything.
I stand by what I said.
I hate crushed red pepper flakes. Oh my God, I hate them.
They're so good.
No, they hurt. They hurt.
I feel like you must have had a really, really hot crushed pepper because they're usually not that spicy.
Every time I've had them, it's been on accident and it has ruined my day. Like, I can't breathe. Stop looking at me like that.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to imagine my life without crushed red pepper, and I can't do it.
Whatever. Anyways, so now that we've recounted our concert woes.
Rip.
Rip, rip, rip. So, something that Kayla and I wanted to talk about on this podcast is about friendship. And Kayla and I have been friends since 2018. We've been best friends since 2018. I feel like we were best friends from the beginning.
Right.
I just never. Okay, the way the light is shining on my part, it makes it look like my part is huge. My part's not this big. I hope you know that.
It doesn't look big.
It looks huge, but it's not. It looks crazy.
It really doesn't. It looks like a normal part.
Yeah, it looks normal. It's because my hair is brown and it's coming back in instead of black. Okay, whatever. If anybody can even see me. So, what was I saying? Oh, we've been friends since 2018 and we worked together. That's how we met.
Mama bonded.
And we worked for we worked together the whole entire past 4 years, and we are pretty much, our friendship has been like made over FaceTime, because like when we first became friends, Kayla lived in Richmond, but then we weren't hanging out, we were talking all the time and FaceTime, even though like you live like 5 minutes from me. I don't know why we hadn't hung out yet. It was so stupid. But then Kayla moved. And still, even when she moved, it was like an hour away, but even when she moved, like, always somebody I could call, always someone who could, like, who would be there for me. And we still talked every day, still FaceTimed every single morning, still had coffee together. Like, one of the first people, like, literally the first person most of the time that I, like, woke up and spoke to. And just, like, all around, just an amazing friend. One of the best friends I've ever had in my life. And because of Kayla, like, I have really been able to let go of, like, so many piss poor friendships. People who half-ass it. Who take and don't give anything back, who just full on just freaking take advantage. Like, Kayla has seen so many people just, like, pass out of my life.
Not if you treat her bad, I'll come after you.
If you treat
better be nice to her.
Better be nice. You better talk to me nice.
Or else.
But Kayla's just seen so many, like, she knows firsthand just the type of, like, crappy friendships that I've had to let go of in the past. And one thing that, like, right before we started recording, this just popped in my head, but it's something that we both feel so strongly about. And I think we feel this way because we don't, like, we're not these types of people, and we don't treat each other the way these types of people have treated us. And we just can't imagine finding this type of, like, mentality acceptable within yourself.
Thanks.
But what I'm getting at is, I don't know if you guys have heard of the phrase, like, I'm a low maintenance friend. Or like, I love low maintenance friends. I love people that, like, don't need anything from you, but, like, you know, if you need something, you can go to them. And on some aspect, like, I get it. Like, in that aspect, I feel like I have a lot of college friends that I'd consider our friendships low maintenance, because we don't talk every day, but I'd be there for them at the drop of a hat, and I know they'd be there for me. My fucking problem with that mentality is a lot of people who consider themselves low maintenance friends don't realize, like, that only works if you both consider yourself low maintenance friends. That only works if the other person knows that, like, how do I word this? You can't be like, I'm a low maintenance friend, and, like, use it as an excuse to, like, never reach out to other people to check on them, or, like, never be there for people when they need you, like, or when they're not even, like, reaching out, but, like, you just kind of sense, like, they may need somebody. Like, it doesn't fly. And there's just something about it that puts a really bad taste in my mouth. I just feel like it's just kind of selfish.
And I feel like part of it too is, like, there is definitely such thing as, like, lower maintenance friendships. You don't need to check in with each other every single day. Like, some friendships are just not like that. But I feel like if you're going to have a healthy, low maintenance friendship, there has to be legwork put into the friendship first to get to that point. You can't just, like, expect to talk to somebody when you feel like it, when it's convenient for you, and then expect the same connection or the same level of friendship as you would someone who is, like, actively going through life, like, with their friend, you know?
I feel like a lot of people who say, like, oh, I'm such a low maintenance friend, like, you can just leave me on red and I'll just be cruising, doing my thing, like, whatever. They look at it as, like, a, like, this great, I guess, personality trait. But I kind of, oh shit, Leo. Leo got something to say. They look at it as, like, this great personality trait that's so positive, but I kind of wonder if it maybe comes from a place in them where, like, they're not used to their needs being met, so they don't think about the fact that, like, other people may need a little bit more. And, like, I am not one of those people that's like, you need to be available for your friends at all times of the day. Like, you need to support your friends all the time, because sometimes you just fucking can't. Like, sometimes you just got to turn your phone off and be like, dude, like, I've got so much going on, give me a minute. Like, I love you. Like, I don't have the emotional capacity to hear you complain about work right now or something, like, you know. But, like, I don't know. And then also, I feel like those people who are like, I'm such a low maintenance friend, like they don't reach out to hang out. And then they like wonder why nobody hits them up. It's like, dude, if I don't feel like you want to hang out with me, I'm not going
to chase them.
No. What are we, 15? Is this Taylor Swift? Like, what are we? No, I'm not chasing you. I'm not chasing you. I won't chase a man. I won't chase a woman. I won't chase anybody on any type of platonic or romantic level. I'm not doing it. I respect myself too much. And like being low maintenance doesn't mean that like, oh, I'm down for whatever, but like, you got to ask me first. Why? Yeah. Why?
And I feel like at the root of all of that is people misconstrue a low maintenance friendship to be the same as a low communication friendship. Mm-hmm. It's okay to not communicate all the time, as long as you both have that like understanding that, you know, it's cool for both of us if we only check in so often. But if one person is expecting like a certain level of like being involved in each other's lives, knowing what's going on, like we're adults, you know, we're, you know, later 20s going into 30s. So much happens in these years that if you don't check in on your friends, you miss like huge milestones in people's lives. Some people may be okay with that, but some people may not be. So like, if you don't have that communication figured out first, like don't be surprised if people aren't inviting you to like their baby showers or their weddings or things like that, just because you thought you were a low maintenance friend.
Exactly. That's such a good point, is like, you don't just get to consider yourself like a low maintenance friend and then just be like, but we were been friends for so long. Yeah, but how tight have we really been over the past few years? I'm not wasting a spot on you at my wedding. Like, what the hell? You know, like a really good example to me of like a low communication but really strong friendship is my friendship with my friend Kirsten from college. And like, I think I already told you this, but just for the podcast purposes, when I get upset, when something big happens in my life, there are a few people that I will immediately text or call to tell what is going on, because I talk to them the most. Kayla is one of those people. Like, the second something bad happens to me, I'm calling her, I'm texting her. Like, she just knows, because we have a very like high communication type of friendship. And there are other people who I am just as close with, but I don't talk to all the time because we're just at different parts in our lives, or like we're working or busy, or they live like really far away or something. Not that that has really ever stopped me. I don't give a fuck. But like, it will take me longer to find the time to reach out to them, because I feel like I have to like brief them on this whole story. And I wouldn't have to if we had like a high communication type of relationship. And like with Kirsten, we have been friends since sophomore year of college. She's one of my greatest friends, one of my oldest friends, literally never had a fight with her ever. I was in her wedding. Like, we've just been through so much together. And she's expecting her first baby. And I had like kind of avoided her a little bit, like not wanted to tell her like all of the stuff, all the stress I was dealing with, because I just didn't know where to start. And I was scared of like dumping. And when I finally got around to telling her, like, hey, do you have a minute? Like, so I can like, I can actually tell you. It's just a perfect example of like how someone that you don't communicate with often can still seriously show up for you in like the strongest, best way. And it's just the complete opposite of, you know, treating you like you're low maintenance, or like them being like, oh, I'm low. Like, it doesn't take a lot of, like, it just, I'm sure it took effort for her to like show up for me in that moment. You're pregnant. You're tired. Like, your best friend from college is crying on FaceTime. And you don't do that. Like, I couldn't do that with people that I don't talk to that often and who have never really shown up.
Yeah.
Me, in other situations. And it also just kind of sucks when like there are people who used to show up for you like that. And then you kind of realize like those people only really were like preying on your downfall a little bit. The only reason they were there for you in those moments when you needed somebody is because they like to watch your shit crumble, mm-hmm. not because they are genuinely like good friends. And you'd be surprised how many of those snakes are in the grass, bitch.
And not even just like praying for your downfall, but also people who say that they're a low maintenance friend because they want to be able to count you as like a number in their number of friends, but not actually come to you unless they need something. Because there's a lot of people like that too. They claim to be low maintenance and maybe they are on their end, but if they want something out of you, then is it really low maintenance or are they just coming around when they need something?
Exactly. And that's like kind of the problem that I've had with a few people that I'm no longer like, I don't really consider my friends anymore. They'd really only come to me when they had like questions about like my job or how to get into the field that I was in or like the podcast or like technology or something. And it just kind of like pissed me off. And that's just not cool. Like if you're not slick, how can you not look at like the last time you texted me and not think that like maybe start a conversation about like how I am?
Yeah.
Before diving in and asking something from me. The sad thing about people like that is they consider themselves low maintenance, but they also probably don't have any like really close friendships at all.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels like not entirely selfish of them, but just sad. Like it literally is just sad that it seems like they hold everybody at arm's length and nobody can get but so close to them. And so because no one can get super close to them, no one really even feels comfortable coming to you with their problems after a while because you aren't present. You're not there. You're not reaching out. You're not making plans. You're not extending like your congratulations or you're like, I miss you. Let's hang out soon. So why would anybody feel inclined to want to come to you when shit's falling apart? You know, like, I don't know. I just feel so strongly about that stuff. And especially like you said, we are at a time in our life where like, if you don't keep up with the people that mean that you really care about and who mean the most to you, like you miss huge milestones.
So much.
Buying a house, being diagnosed with like an illness, having a baby, people dying, like you miss so much when you're just focused on like, I mean, it's good to mind your business, huh?
The superficial stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like trying to like say that you're low maintenance for like, because it's like your aesthetic, like, oh my God, like I'm so like I don't consider myself a low maintenance friend. And I don't consider myself high maintenance in the aspect that I cause like emotional problems for my friends. I give a lot in my friendships and I feel like like the people I'm closest to, they give a lot to me as well. Like, I feel like it's very equal. Like I can call my friends and talk to them about anything and they can call me at any time of the day and talk to me about anything. And I don't feel like that should be considered high maintenance at all. There's such a negative connotation onto that. I don't even like the idea of maintenance.
Yeah.
It makes it seem very like mechanical.
Or like a transaction, and it shouldn't be transactional.
No, it shouldn't be. It's weird. It's just friendships are not about like you scratch my back, I scratch yours. What can you do for me? Like, that's not how friendship works, and it shouldn't be. And that same shit goes for relationships. People who will be like, I'm such a low maintenance girlfriend, or like, I'm such a low maintenance boyfriend. Like, do you want a cookie?
Also, does that mean you don't do anything for your partner to like try and make them feel special? Because you should. Like, just same thing with friendships. Like, yeah, maybe maintenance isn't the right word, but like you should still put effort into the people that you care about, point blank. Like, no matter if they're friends, family members, or like a romantic partner, if you care about them, you should naturally want to put in effort to be there for them.
Yeah. And it just like, you should want to put in effort, even if it's something as small as just checking in and being like, hey, I know we haven't had like a one-on-one conversation. Like, I see your posts on social media, like Twitter, Instagram, whatever. I just want to tell you I love you. You know, yeah. That's it. That's all it takes to still stay relevant in the people's lives that you care about. And like, I'm sorry, but like, I'm so far past the point of doing that for people that haven't done it for me in months. Like, I used to be that person who would literally like clockwork. I would check on people that I hadn't spoken to personally in a month, and I'm not fucking doing it anymore because like, clearly you feel like you see how I'm doing on social media and maybe that's enough for you. But like, social media, we all know that is just the tip of the iceberg, and that does not show the struggles you're going through at all. Like, I'm not posting actively on Twitter and Instagram about like personal shit, that like real personal shit that has kept me up crying at night. Like, I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
Do you think you know everything about my life, or do you just like not care enough to ask, but like you think I should reciprocate likewise for you? Does that make sense?
It does. Because it should, like, I feel like that's not even a thought that should come up, because if someone's checking in on you, you wouldn't have that thought. But if you're constantly being the person to go after someone else to make sure that they're okay, then like, yeah, of course that thought's going to come into your head. Like, oh, I wonder why they never feel the need to check in with me.
Yeah. It just kind of makes you wonder about people's motives or lack of motives, I guess. That makes more sense for being like, if someone's not doing something, like, what's their motive for not doing it? Lack of motive for choosing to not do it. I don't know. Anyways, I have noticed that certain people in my life who like I used to really get along with and like really enjoy talking to and hanging out with, I just like haven't heard anything from. And it's like, as my life has improved, I've heard less and less from them. And I truly feel like with some friends, they'll see you on like you are just operating on a different like vibrational level than them. And for some people, that's like very intimidating and makes them feel like they're not doing enough. So they're like, I'm just not going to check in on her because I'm sure she's fine. And I just don't want to hear about the fact that she's like, that she's doing something I'm not doing or feels better than I feel right now. And so then they like get in the habit of like, okay, her life seems fine. Maybe there's like some jealousy tinged in there. But then like when that person's life isn't fine anymore, it either goes, I keep hiccuping. It goes one of two ways. Either they swoop in because they see you're having a hard time, or they're just like sitting back and they're watching like, yes, you're sinking below like the rest of us.
Which is very shady.
It's unsupportive. It's shady. It is not healthy in the slightest. And yeah, I don't know. I feel very strongly about that. And I definitely think that like it's healthy. Like in my opinion, like my friendships that are low communication, I still consider them very healthy. They're people that I have known for years and years. And if I saw them again on the street, like we'd pick up where we left off. And like, I don't want to misconstrue this with anybody thinking like, oh my God, like you have to be texting Brooke 24/7 or else she won't consider you her friend. Like, no, that's not what I mean.
Yeah.
But like, there's just a difference between being genuine and just kind of only keeping friends around so that you have resources if you need them.
Right. And I feel like it's apparent too. It's pretty obvious to both people. Unless they just lack like the awareness, like the emotional intelligence to pick up on that. But I feel like most people get it.
Yeah. I would hope so. And if you don't, then that kind of labels you as a sociopath, to be quite honest.
True.
It does. Like, for real. Like, what is not... What's not clicking? That you think it's okay to just kind of ghost your friends?
Yeah. And also, like, if you're going to be friends with someone, you want to know both the good things going on in their life as well as the bad. Like, you want to... You don't want to just see someone doing good all the time or only seeing them, like, trying to help them through a rough spot. Like, life's not like that. You should want to be there for the full picture.
Exactly. Like, you, everything outside of, you know, what you see on their social media, everything outside of what is perfectly cropped in, like, their little Instagram squares, whatever. And it, like, it's... I feel like the longer you wait to reach out to somebody you haven't spoken to in forever, like, the more
it is.
Yeah, the worse it is, and the less likely it is that you're going to repair the friendship. And it's just really awkward when, like, there was no fight. Like, you guys never had a falling out. They just kind of stopped being a good friend. And at some point, you're just like, okay, I'm going to just excuse myself from this chat now.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting too when you brought up, like, what you see on social media is like a tiny frame of, like, what's actually going on. Cause, like, as someone who doesn't put my life on social media very much, like, I don't have any of my life events on there. Like, if you're not a person who talks to me on a regular enough basis, you don't know anything that's, like, absolutely anything going on in my life. So it's weird. If someone tried, like, I just recently, like, remade a Facebook for the first time in years. And it's weird how many people who haven't talked to me in years, like, since the last time I had a Facebook, try to reach out to me. It's like, it makes it very awkward and, like, feeling unnatural because, like, you could have reached out to my phone number because I know you have it, but you didn't. So it's like, why now, you know?
Some people literally think that if you don't have, like, Facebook, you're just not accessible.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you're just off the grid. It's like, well, no, I have your number. You have mine.
I didn't die.
Yeah. If you wanted to stay in touch, you could.
Yeah. If they wanted to, they would.
If they wanted to, they would. And if they don't, then fuck them.
Yeah. Like, I still reach out to people, like, all the time who don't have Instagram and Facebook because I just, oh, I don't know. I just keep track of my friends. I want to know they're okay. Like, Victoria only uses Twitter, but, like, even if she didn't use Twitter, like, I'd still be checking up on her, you know? It's just,
it's like, if you value that friendship, you're going to do that because you care about the person. It's like as simple as that.
But yeah, we just had a little rant. We just had a little rant sesh about
good
friendship.
Fake friends.
Wait, what was that? That's not a Drake song, is it? Is it?
Fake friends?
I don't know.
I don't think so. I was just saying fake friends because they're fake.
I thought fake friends was like a Drake song. No, it's a got some enemies, got a lot of enemies.
Oh,
a lot of people trying to take from my energy or whatever.
Have you listened to the new Drake album?
No.
I heard it was trash, but I haven't listened to it myself.
If you listen to it, I'll take your word for it. I saw Drake live at a festival. It was...
That'd be kind of wild, actually. I feel like his crowds would be insane.
It was fun. It was actually the same festival I saw Alt-J at, but it was like...
Damn.
It was really cool. I feel very lucky to have seen Alt-J live because they're never in the U.S. ever. Speaking of which, if you haven't listened to Chicago by Alt-J, go put some headphones on and please listen to that shit and just pretend that you're like you're in Euphoria, like a drugged out teenager, just like, listen to it and thank me later. It's great. I just gave myself such a dizziness.
Do it for the vibe.
I did do it for the vibe. I did do it for the vibe. We got to pick an Ostara egg for the Instagram post.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
So, in the spirit of ghosting. What?
Nothing.
What did you say?
Halloween.
Oh, well, I was going to say, in the spirit of ghosting people, let's make the Ostara egg a ghost.
Aww.
So if you...
I think it was a ghost last time I was on here.
It's your icon.
Yeah.
It's you, little boo. Little boo. You should be little boo and I'm little wig.
That's cute. Grabbing our hot single at a Target near you.
Little boo and little witch.
Yeah.
If you got this far in the episode, go on this episode's Instagram post and comment a little ghost emoji to let us know that you listened. And don't accept crappy half-ass friendships. This is your sign.
And don't go see Slender Bodies because they won't show up.
And don't go waste your money on Slender Bodies because they will not show up for the show. They will not. And you will waste your glitter and your leather pants and your gas and your time.
And you will catch COVID and have fevers for 5 days in a row. And also you will run into a creepy guy on the way there that tries to show you a video of his refrigerator door. And now we've come full circle.
We really have. What a good summary.
Thank you.
That was great. Don't forget, guys, if you want to be on the show, you can fill out the attached form. Well, attached form. There's a link in the description box of this episode, and it goes to a Google form. It'll be linked. Go check that out. Fill it out. And also, be sure to follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram at the Witchful Thinking Podcast. And go join our Witchful Thinking Coven group on Facebook. We're almost at like 500 members. It's crazy.
Woo-woo!
And yeah, talk to you next week.
Bye!